the thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode. Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go, no!
It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3. KTAR.
And welcome to another edition of the Computer Corner. It's not polite to talk with food in your mouth, is it?
No, it's fine. It's lunchtime.
I was shoving. Running a little late this morning, but we are the Data Doctors, here to talk technology with you as we do every Saturday afternoon.
A trio of doctors for this this Saturday.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. What do you mean? A trio?
Tell them who the trio is.
The trio starts first and foremost with Mr. Ken Colburn. He's to my right, maybe to your left, depending on which ear or which speaker you're closest to. Then myself, Brandon Disney, and then last, but definitely not least, most importantly probably, Robert De Arezio.
Welcome back.
Or De Rezzo, if you want to just...
Whichever, huh?
Exactly.
Either or.
So this week's theme, I think, is quite important and quite... critical that folks pay attention, as this has become, if not the leading, one of the leading reasons that we end up having to step in and help our customers with their computers. Wouldn't you say?
It is. And it's funny how many people actually fall into the trap of this antivirus.
And that's basically this growing problem of fake alerts. It's real easy to be fooled by these fake alerts. And later on, we're going to actually talk about some very interesting survey results from our friends over at WebRoot. They conducted a survey, and the findings from that survey as far as the types of individuals that are getting hit with this, it's not what you might think it is. So we're gonna talk in more detail about that. We're also going to have Jeff from WebRoot on, who is part of their threat management or threat assessment group. And he's going to get into the very specific details of what exactly these guys are doing and why and how and really try to help you guys understand out there how to avoid this thing, because that's really the critical part.
The thing he's talking about is these fake alerts. And so the story sort of goes, and it's got different forms and variations out there, but you're on your computer working along, maybe browsing websites, doing whatever it is you're doing, and something comes up that looks like an alert either from your antivirus software or just a Microsoft alert, something saying, hey, there's a problem here. And it's asking you to make a yes or no choice or yes or no decision. And the choice is, do you want me to attempt to scan, clean up, fix, repair, whatever it is, right? Or do you want to just ignore this? Well, of course, you're thinking, oh, gosh, if there's a problem, absolutely, let's repair this. Let's fix it. Let's scan. Let's do whatever it is that's necessary. And that alert that you got, it's not from a trusted source, but it looks like it is. And so part of what we want to talk about today is maybe how you can tell the difference between what's real and what's not and what you can do to be sure every time. It's like when you got those emails, and a couple of years ago, there was a big scare. We were getting emails supposedly from our lending institutions, our financial institutions, from PayPal, from whatever, telling
us,
we had a problem. And back then, if you remember, our advice was, well, never click on a link within a message like that. Instead, go log on the way you normally would. Well, a similar rule sort of applies here, right? You get one of these alerts. Instead of wondering whether it's real or not, simply close the alert under whatever mechanism you need to close it, but don't take whatever action. Instead, then open whatever security software you normally use and run a scan from within that. And so you've bypassed their whole mechanism that's engineered to get you to click yes, fix. And if you've really got a problem, then your software that you installed, that you trust, that you know is there, can go to work and attempt to do battle if there is really something, in fact, that needs to be battled.
You know, and it comes down to, just like with everything else in life, if you're paying attention, if you're aware of what to watch for, if you're aware of the common ways in which you might be fooled, you got a shot. If you're completely clueless, they're going to get you. And that's the point of today's show, is we're trying to give you the tools. Unfortunately, this is not one of those things where it's always going to look like this and it's always going to come in this form. This is a fast evolving threat blended attack spectrum that's encountered the internet. And the reason they're doing this is it's very, very effective. It's a very effective way to infiltrate people's computers.
And it's a 1-2 punch, right? So they're telling you that you're infected with something and getting you sort of emotionally bought in, only to then say, well, we've got a solution. You just need to give us your credit card number to activate this product. And if you do, two things happen. Well, three things, really. First, you give it the credit card number, and voila, magically, the problem is gone. Because the problem was never there in the first place. They tricked you into, you know, giving them credit card information so they can charge you for a product you didn't need to clean up a problem you didn't have. But then it goes further. Since these guys aren't always the most honest of folks that are tricking you in the first place, that credit card information that you gave them that they used to charge you for a worthless product that did nothing, they're now selling on the black market to whoever's the highest bidder.
I believe the response is, das badanya.
Das badanya.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for the credit card info, comrade.
Was that Das Badanya?
Huh?
Thanks for the credit card info, comrade?
No.
That's a crazy translation.
No.
No?
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Just yeah, thank you. Yeah. Oh, gotcha.
But you know, they're basically a lot of organized crime outfits. There's huge, huge syndicates of online criminal gangs. Very organized. Very much so in the Pacific Rim, in the old Eastern Bloc states. Certainly, Russia is a big purveyor of this type of thing. So, at the end of the day, these criminals from around the world can reach into your pocket, right through your computer. And so, we're going to try to give you those throughout the show here. Give you those tips that will help you understand how to avoid some of these things. 602-277-5827. In case you do want to call on the old rusty wire.
Yeah, and you can talk about the fake alert. If you got hit, we'd love to hear from you. If you've seen this message and you were smart enough to avoid it, you as well. Of course, if your call or your question has nothing to do with fake alerts, you've got a question about Windows 7 that's coming out, a couple weeks from now? A
couple weeks.
Is it really all I've heard about? Is it really something that much better? Should I be waiting if I'm thinking about buying a new PC? Well, at this point, waiting, you're only talking a few weeks. You know, that kind of stuff. Whatever your question's about. 602-277-5827. It's 277-KTAR. Of course, you can also join us online and check out the resources if you are need to get more in tune with what these fake alerts are, some of the warning signs, some of the things you can do to avoid getting sucked in. We've got those resources, datadoctors.com/radio or datadoctors.com. Click where it says radio show. Either way, you get there.
Bada bing, bada boom.
So we're going to take... get some calls loaded up. Now's a good time. 602-277-5827. We come back. Your calls, your questions, and more about fake alerts right here on the Computer Corner. Stick around.
Welcome back to the Computer Corner. We're talking about the growing problem of fake alerts. It's fooling people into allowing rogue software programs to be installed into their computer. Most of you know exactly what I'm talking about because you're either sitting there with the problem right now, or you've gone through this, or you've had a friend or family member that's gone through this fake antivirus, fake malware removal program that basically, no matter what you do, it doesn't seem to want to let go. And our friends over at Webroot, one of the security products that we highly recommend, certainly what we install in our customers' computers in the corporate stores, they put together a survey that had some pretty amazing statistics, and if you think about them, they kind of make sense, but it turns out with this fake alert issue, experienced users are actually more susceptible to this than the novice. You people out there that you think, oh, I know what I'm doing.
That's because you're so sort of ready to rock and roll, right? You know what's going on.
Well, based on their survey, they surveyed 1,200 people. Over 50% of the advanced users have encountered one of these fake alerts,
yeah,
security alerts, while only a third of novice users have. And it has a lot to do with the fact that novice users don't tend to spread their wings as much, let's say, as somebody that's real comfortable with the internet. So they do more things, which puts them in more of an opportunity to be confronted or presented with this type of thing. But what's really, really, really scary is that 20% of the people they surveyed just assumed that all of the links on the first page of a Google search result, that they're all safe.
Wow. if it's on the internet and Google has it, it must be okay.
That's exactly what I think people are under this misnomer that Google has some power to really analyze on a real-time basis every website that they index and present. And unfortunately, there's just no way for them to stay on top of that and provide relevant search results.
I mean, they did begin adding little warnings to things that look real obvious to them. But keep in mind that they're not searching. When you're typing a search, it's not in real time looking at all the sites on the internet and figuring out what's relevant. It's looking at their last sort of index. And so that could be at least hours and days old.
What's interesting is they're targeting current events, too. So if you're searching current events,
yes,
you're getting them.
Absolutely. Any of the news events that you've seen lately, if you were searching in Google and actually clicked on every link, there's a very high likelihood that one of those links would have been one of these rogue programs. I ran into that several times. I've seen that more and more now. So tip number one here, if you're listening to the data doctors when it comes to these fake alerts, is don't assume that the results that you get from Google are clean and you shouldn't have to worry. There's nothing Google can do to protect you from these guys that can create these websites on the fly, get them indexed. Certainly once they're aware of them, they can pull them down, but there's just, you know, we're talking about billions and billions and billions of websites. It's just not going to be possible.
What if you just assume the opposite, that everything you click on is not going to be safe?
This is where, all of this malware and all this stuff that's going on the internet is really going to drive people back to what we've always done offline, which is stick to our trusted resources.
Yep.
Right? We don't go asking everybody on the in our real-world circles their opinion on things. We have very specific people we like to go to, our friends and family. We typically consume news from one or two or three different conduits. And so gathering information. And things like Twitter, they're becoming more relevant for search, especially for something that's very a current event. And I think most of you that are out there that are still looking for your news, you're gonna transition over the next year or two in that the news that you want is gonna find you.
And you're gonna be, instead of seeing it on the local news, you're going to see it there, hear it on the radio, get it at CNN.com, see it going on in Twitter. I mean, you're gonna see it in five or six places within seconds of each other. That gives you a ton more sort of verification that this is real than
Google searching
one little quick resource you might see somewhere.
Exactly. We got any callers or are we all done?
We got a bunch of callers. And we got room. One line, 602-277-5827.
That's it. Good night, everybody.
Not good night. We're gonna talk to Mike. He's been hanging out there the longest. And if I can figure out what button to push. There he is. Mike, welcome to
Hello.
The Computer Corner.
Hey, Mike, are you aware of this fake alert issue that we're talking about? Have you been confronted with that yet?
This morning, actually.
Really?
I think. I don't know. I got online, and I was on Facebook, and a friend had posted a video, and I clicked on it, and
Uh-oh.
There was an alert that said I needed to update my Flash player.
Yes. Yeah.
And I clicked on update, thinking, okay, and it tried to load, and brought up my little downloaded items thing that you click on to...
Are you using Firefox?
Yeah.
Okay. So now let's stop right there. That's another big reason people should consider using Firefox. When you download something for installation in Firefox, it puts it into this little download system instead of just installing it on your computer like Internet Explorer typically does. So you have another chance to figure out, wait a minute, this maybe something I shouldn't install or really look at what it is. It doesn't just automatically put it in. Now, did Firefox even allow you to install that program?
Well, it tried, and it came up with an error that said something had stopped working, and it didn't load. I wasn't able to play the video I was trying to anyway.
Thank goodness.
And I gave up, and I tried to go play a game, and the game froze, like the whole computer. I couldn't even hit Control-Alt-Delete to bring up the task manager.
Let me ask you, are you you're active on Facebook?
Yes.
Are you a Data Doctors Facebook fan?
Not yet.
You should be, because we already warned you twice about this particular one, and there's an even more recent one we warned about this week.
Hey, Mike, I know you've got a question you wanted to ask. We're coming up on a news break, so I'm going to pop you back on hold. I got you there. And when we come back from the break, we're going to talk to Mike about his monitor problem.
And how to find our fan page on Facebook.
And even more importantly, why you care about finding us on Facebook and what this issue is that happened last week that's going to hit you if you're not paying attention. So stick around for that. It's the Computer Corner. We are the Data Doctors. We're going to take a quick time out, get you a check of traffic, news, weather, whatever. We'll be right back here. Stick around.
Hey there, it's the Computer Corner, and the Data Doctors are here. We've now finalized the consuming of mass quantities.
No, we're not done with that yet.
I'm finished. So we apologize if we sounded like we were eating while we were talking.
That's what happens when you have a show that starts at noon, right?
Yeah. So Mike was on. He was talking about this Facebook issue with videos, and it sounds like he was falling for like a really old Facebook scam with the video that looks like a Facebook page. There's actually a newer one out there. And so any of you that are fans of the show, we've created a Facebook fan page. And we apologize. We've got lots of people that have been following us, and we have been remiss in posting updates. I am completely committed to posting updates on a regular basis up there now. So if you're interested in following us and trying to keep up to speed with this, facebook.com/datadoctors, plural, Mike, and a lot of these things during the week, so in between our radio show and in between our weekly newsletter, if you stay posted to your social media, whether it's Twitter or Facebook, we'll give you more immediate, like this malware issue that just popped up this week, a new scam. There's two or three different video scams there for Facebook. So, but the link that we have on our Facebook fan page or on our Twitter feeds will take you to the Mashables article that has this, that actually has screenshots, so you can compare the screenshot to what you're seeing to see if it's the same one or not.
All right,
so you had a question, however.
My problem is I had to restart my computer. I had to hold down the power button until it turned off, and when it came back on, it gave me an option to start some kind of repair process or start Windows normally, and I started the repairs, and it just, from there, it said this may take several minutes, and it asked me if I wanted to restart my computer at a point where it worked before, because it couldn't restart it as was. And so I selected that, and the screen went black, and now it goes to power saving mode, and my computer sounds like it's running.
But yeah, it's not playing.
It was attempting to do system restore, and you must be running Windows Vista then, correct?
Yes, the 64-bit.
Yeah, so it's been hanging out there for a while. At this point, I would shut the machine off. If you've got to pull the power plug on the back, I mean, hold the button in, whatever you got to do.
Okay.
And then power it back on. If it comes back up and gives you the choice, try always starting Windows normally first and only go to the repair options if it's not working and you've got no other option.
Okay.
So I'd give that a shot. I mean, if it's still happening, then either Windows has gotten damaged or corrupted, or there's some hardware problem that is preventing it from being able to boot up or repair itself or any of these kinds of things. And so
But since you clicked on this and tried to install the fake, now the other thing, we talked about this before in the past, Mike, you already have the Flash player, right? You've already used that to watch YouTube videos and all that stuff, right? And they lulled you into this sense of, oh, I must need this, and I'm trusting this because it looks like Facebook. So the tip that we gave when this started happening 6 or 8 months ago was, if you believe that you do need an updated Flash player, never accept it from the source that says you need it. Manually go to Adobe's website and manually install the update.
I knew that's what I should have done.
Yeah, because if you do, and I know it's more, it's like, well, what's the big deal? It's a pain. This is how they're getting people, and they're getting them in droves.
And you know what part of it is, I think, is people, just like they thought, well, if it comes up in a Google search result, it must be okay, right? Because Google, their thinking is the source. And in this case, they're thinking Facebook, big company, they're the source. We should be fine. Facebook is not the source of what you're looking at. They are only sort of the vehicle. So think about if there's a guy who's drunk driving in a Ford. You don't trust Ford in that case, because Ford isn't the guy who's driving drunk, right? It's the guy. Facebook is the vehicle at this point. And
Facebook
and
is a drunk driver?
No, Facebook Facebook is the Ford in this case. The drunk drivers are the drunk drivers. That's what you got to watch out for.
Yeah.
So don't be thinking that Facebook's okay and
I'm
safe.
The other thing you can do anytime you're at a page where you believe it's legitimate, go look up at the address bar, because see, they can create what looks exactly like a Facebook page, exactly what looks like a CNN page. And if you're not paying attention, you're going to think that's what it is. Banks, all that stuff. Start making it a habit to look up at the actual address of this page. And oftentimes you'll see that it has a mention of Facebook, but there's a bunch of other stuff that you don't recognize. Mm-hmm. And again, that's just, it's not necessarily an indication that it's a fake site, but it's usually a pretty good indicator, hey, wait a minute, this may not be on the up and up. Now, okay. So your situation is, it sounds like you might have been impacted by this because this happened right afterwards, right?
Correct.
Okay. So getting it back to a working component is, you know, hopefully you can reboot into either the safe mode. Was that one of the options, or was it
the repair? It gave me that option the first time, and I tried to start Windows normally, and the screen would just go black.
Okay. And so if you cannot start in safe mode, then you do have damage to the operating system, and you're going to have to get somebody to take a look at it to figure out what the best way is to repair that damage.
Okay. Is there a way to just wipe the hard drive and reload it? I do have the Windows CD.
Yes, but do you have everything that you care about backed up and all your favorites and all your address books? And do you know how all your network connections go and your printer drivers and the 5 million other things that you're not thinking of right now?
All the CDs, the stuff I have, I need. I wouldn't miss. I mean, I would, but I'd
rather have you're gonna spend more time doing that than having somebody actually repair what you got. Now, if that doesn't matter to you, then yeah, you can go that route.
If there's nothing on there you care about, and it would be fine if it was like a brand new computer and you never had any of your stuff again.
Great. Actually, yeah, it wouldn't matter. I never put anything that important on this thing. So.
Well, that is certainly one of your options. We say this all the time. You're going to spend your time or your money to fix any of these problems. You got to choose which one you'd rather spend.
Right. How do you go about entering a mode where you can tell it to wipe itself? And I can't even get that far at this point.
Yeah, I mean, that's where that's like question one of 40 that you don't know that you have yet. but the simple answer is if you have the disk, you stick it in and boot to that disk.
Actually, before you do that, contact the manufacturer of your computer to make sure you have everything you need. Don't assume that you do, and then have them give you, specific to their system, the best possible way to do that, the best practices for doing that, because it is different for every manufacturer.
Okay, so I'd call Gateway in this.
That would be my recommendation if you want to do this.
Hey, Mike, do me a favor. When they answer the phone, the first thing out of your mouth should just be moo. All right?
Okay.
Hey,
thank you very much for your time.
All right, good luck, Mike.
Thanks for the call.
All right, thanks, guys.
It was getting too serious. I had to moo.
Okay. Moo. All right, so we went a little long with Mike, but that's okay.
Yeah, we got plenty
Before we went to break, we talked about this survey that the folks over at Webroot generated. And joining us now online is Jeff. I'm sorry, Jeff. I don't have my notes in front of me. What was your last name?
My last name is Horn.
Did I not tell you on the phone yesterday we are not professional radio guys and we're not real structured? And so there it is.
You got to let me know.
And your official title over at Webroot, Jeff?
My official title is Director of Threat Research.
Director of Threat Research. That seems to be, and I believe that was one of the reasons why I said,
Director of Threat Research. What if you were going to hip up that title, though, what you could make it into something like way cooler than that, like Director of Impending Doom and I mean.
Great.
Right?
No.
Oh, absolutely.
No. Yeah,
absolutely.
But he doesn't get to pick his title, I don't think. They came up with it and said, here, you have this. You guys did a pretty interesting survey of folks out on the internet to find out a lot of information about how and why and who tends to be the one that falls for these fake alerts, right?
Correct.
And when I saw the data, I was like, wow, I would not have thought of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. We went through and did like advanced users, which ended up being pretty surprising.
Yeah, they're more likely, right? They have a greater rate of being presented with these things and obviously have a greater rate of actual infection.
Absolutely. Yeah, in our study, advanced users tended to click more on things when they were during like a fake scan. When they were prompted with a fake scan, they were tending to click on it or try to click a fake X on the top and ended up getting infected with these things.
And even legitimate websites, I mean, there was this New York Times website issue a while back, right, where
right.
some scammer got some malicious code into like one of the ads.
Right. It was actually Personal Antivirus 2010.
Yeah.
It's a piece of rogue anti-malware. And, yeah, they were just basically serving advertisements for it on New York Times.
Unbelievable.
And
so,
this stuff has gotten so good that, I mean, We work on people's computers all day, every day in our stores. And when you see this stuff, even us guys who are quote unquote professionals in this world, you know, we see these things and they look pretty legit. I mean, they look really good.
Yeah, they've done a really good job of making these screens look a lot like the operating systems, and certainly they have the right verbiage. And it's easy to understand how so many people do fall for these things.
Oh, absolutely. Even some of them actually integrate right with the Windows Security Center.
Yeah, they actually jump into that and make modifications to the Windows Security Center, right?
Absolutely.
So now, when did all this stuff start? I mean, you've been kind of monitoring this for some time. When did all this threat, or these fake alerts, when did all that start?
A couple of years ago, actually. We saw a few of them pop up. I mean, you saw some that were, you know, these fake alerts have this blended kind of area where, you know, some of them were just bad security products that were false positiving on the machine, and then the person just believed that they were infected and then went through and purchased this product. But then we started getting into the little bit more malicious ones where they would actually come down with malware and misrepresent themselves. It's been happening for a number of years, but it's definitely been ramping up in the last year.
And the first iterations, they were just trying to fool people into thinking that they had an infection, just to try to get them to pay this company, and then they'd all go away and they got some money, and it was just a way to fleece people, right?
Absolutely.
And then it went into, well, gosh, if we're falling for that, what else can we do once we get into customers, you know, these people's machines? And that's when this malicious intent has started to come up, right?
Right. Some of these things come down with real pieces of malware. They will actually install several malware, adware, spyware, and virus components along with themselves. And then when they go through and do this kind of fake scanning, they won't even report on the things they just installed.
Yeah, exactly. Well, okay, and so we got to go to break for a second here, or maybe a minute. When we come back, we're going to talk more about what we've talked about in the past, which is ransomware. But there's a modification to ransomware that we're seeing more and more of with these rogue antivirus programs. So you're listening to the Computer Corner. We got to take a quick break. We got Jeff Horn from Webroot on to tell us more about the world of fake threats. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. We're talking with Jeff Horn of Webroot, the man, the myth, the legend when it comes to assessing threats on the internet for one of our favorite anti-malware programs, companies. The survey they did, another interesting piece here, 40% of the people they surveyed did not know the meaning of fake alert, and 69% were completely unfamiliar with this whole rogue security product sector. So 7 out of 10 people that they surveyed had no idea what the heck they were talking about. That's scary.
Wow.
No wonder it's so widespread, huh, Jeff?
Absolutely.
The threat is lack of knowledge, isn't it?
Pretty much. I mean, yeah. I mean, if people don't know about them and they're not, you know, constantly in their face, then absolutely, they're going to be exploited by them.
Wow. All right. So let's talk a little bit more about this latest twist in this thing. They started out just trying to fleece you out of money, and then they said, let's start to, you know, take over people's computers for whatever reason, including making you part of a botnet or whatever they want to do with you.
Right.
But now they've gone to yet another little tactic here that's kind of the worst of both worlds, isn't it?
Yes. You're talking about the ransomware?
Yes.
Right. Ransomware has been, it's been around for a while, where they would just typically install a program and then it would just lock your files with an encryption algorithm and just try to blackmail the person into paying a certain fee in order to unlock their files. But this new stuff is coming down, you know, as with a fake alert. It's a rogue anti-malware device. And it'll go through and put these pieces of malware on your system, claim that they're the only ones that can clean it up. And then some of them even prevent other security vendors from installing.
Yes.
So they'll sit resident on your machine. They're right in your face, and
they take over.
They take over. Pretty
and
much.
You basically can't use your computer until you give in.
Absolutely.
And then sometimes even when you give in, you still can't use your computer because once they get your money and your credit card number, they don't really care.
Right. These things do not have any sort of detection or remediation technology. Usually,
giving in is not a good idea in this case.
Never.
You need to seek out some professional help is generally the way you got to go.
Yeah, and the unfortunate part, because I know the natural thing that people are hearing this and the links that we put up, they're going to say, okay, so you told me how I get it, how to get rid of it. And unfortunately, that's an evolving platform that, I mean, some of these really old ones can be simply removed through anti-malware programs.
Yeah, the older they are, the better the shot is of that, because now they've been around and it's known how to fix, right?
But this new stuff that really entrenches itself, there's no quick and dirty way to get rid of these things.
No, I mean, we're constantly, we've got dedicated researchers on these things right now. You know, they're constantly morphing. They're using, you know, different code techniques, encryption algorithms in order to bypass security. The best way that the users can protect themselves is just to be smart and to, you know, to get to know these kind of fake alerts and these rogue anti-malware.
And so, I want to dwell a little bit more on what you said, because I think that's the critical part here that I want people to hear. Most, I think, way too many people think, I have antivirus software, I have anti-spyware software on my computer, so I'm safe.
Right.
And it has nothing to do with what you have for protection, right?
Well, I mean, these things can happen even over the web. I mean, some of these things just don't, sometimes don't even install anything. They're just right there on the web. You're looking at it in a browser, and they're immediately asking you for your credit card information.
You're asleep at the wheel.
Right.
you're basically
especially you advanced users, apparently. So
yeah. Twice as likely, it looks like.
In Rogues We Trust. I love the name of the
in that survey.
The article there. Your survey, yeah.
So there's some other stuff going on, and we're going to be working very closely with Webroot because we really like what you guys are doing out there. You guys are constantly trying to figure out ways probably to deal with the human behavior as much as this code out there that's nearly impossible for you to know what the next one's coming up is going to be, right?
Correct. So, yeah, we go through a lot of usability cases with our software just to make sure that we make our software kind of as easy to use and gives kind of the best security.
That's why we use you. That's why we install it in our customer stuff. So, hey, your threat blog, what's the address for people to kind of, that want to keep in touch with all the threats you guys are dealing with?
Absolutely. It's blog.webroot.com.
Well, that's easy. Yeah. Blog.webroot. And at Webroot on Twitter. People want to follow Webroot on Twitter. Just the at Webroot is the handle. Jeff, thanks for coming on. Obviously, we'll probably be talking to you down the road since none of this is going to change anytime soon.
Right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That is Jeff Horn from Webroot helping us with assessing threats. We're going to stay in contact with him for a long, long time.
And we've got links to that survey and those results at our website, datadoctors.com/radio. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, calls and questions, 602-277-5827. It's the Computer Corner rolling on. Stick around.
The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode.
Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
don't! It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3, KTAR.
And welcome to hour number two of the Computer Corner. It's Ken, Brandon, and Robert here, the data doctors du jour. Talking about these fake alerts that are just fooling people left and right. Tons and tons of resources for you posted at datadoctors.com/radio, including the explanation of drive-by downloads and why these things are getting past all the scanners out there. And it's tough stuff. Before we go on, we're going to educate you a little more in this sector by going to our Geek Speak of the Week. Every week we try to bring you something that makes you sound more smarter when you're talking about tech, huh?
More smarter-er.
Yes.
Yes.
It's more gooder English. And
we try to learn you something.
We are going to learn you something today because this week's Geek Speak of the Week has specifically to do with how these threat codes, these codes that are constantly causing new problems, how they are able to bypass so much of the security software that's out there. Robert?
Well, I definitely learned me something today. It's a polymorphic code.
Polymorphic code. Is that like a bird?
No. Oh. No. It's actually going to be a malware that comes into your computer that has the ability to morph its signature base. So if you had an antivirus program that was free, that was searching just for certain signature-based, it would slip right through.
It's like the malware stuff is playing that old game of telephone, right, where it's telling the next piece of anti-malware, and it switches the story just a little bit. And
it's just like a spy putting on a wig and a mustache.
I like that.
And that is what happens. These polymorphic codes, that is the most common reason that we have these security issues. We got somebody snooping on us?
Wow, I was like, I think I bumped a button or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Polymorphic listener.
Apparently.
But it morphs, yeah. It changes its signature, what it looks like. So it went from square to round to oblong. And so antivirus code that's looking for squares says, well, that's not a square. It's kind of an oblong, and it's round. And
you were saying a lot of the free antivirus programs that you get for free don't know what to look for except for code, right?
Well, they look for known stuff in a big database.
Well,
no,
they look for
that's
signatures.
Signatures.
Right.
Right? Instead of behaviors.
Patterns.
Specifically behaviors. They know that if you're going to go and ask for Windows to open a certain DLL and add itself to some, these are behaviors that regardless of whether we know the signature or not, the behavior itself is threatening. Therefore, it must be stopped. And that's where the more sophisticated antivirus and anti-malware programs are superior to these freebie programs. That's why companies have a free version and a pay version. It's not because it's the same thing.
No. It's the same thing, and they try to trick you into paying, and if they can't get you to, then they're willing to give it away for free.
Those of you that have been told by your geeky, nerdy friend that the only difference is you get free tech support if you pay for it, they are correct. That is a difference. But that ain't the whole story, and there's a reason.
It's one of the differences, right?
Pretty much a free version is just to get you to like the user interface. Right?
And those of you that have antivirus but haven't updated them since February, like somebody that I was helping out this morning, that's worse than the free antivirus programs.
Yes. Now there is a difference. There's a free trial, which generally is the full-on thing that you will eventually have to pay for.
Yes. And those of you buying cheap computers in big box stores and from retailers that have stuff stacked and racked, oftentimes you will get trialware versions of your antivirus and even like Microsoft Office.
Right. And they're good for that first 30 days.
Yes.
But after that, you got
to
pay.
Right. So you got to add the cost of that to your consideration. It's really easy to buy a machine cheap and realize later on, wait a minute.
Something's funny here.
Shall we go back to the phones?
We shouldn't. We have to, because Chris has been hanging out there so long, I'm sure her ear is, like, ready to fall off. Chris?
No, couldn't be.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I sure hope you can help me. Courtesy of our local phone company, my internet service was allegedly upgraded earlier this month.
This already sounds so positive. Allegedly upgraded. It's the experiment of service.
Since that time, I have had a myriad of problems, which we won't go into at the moment. The other evening, I renewed my McAfee virus protection. Subsequent to that, I am now unable to utilize my add or remove programs feature. I'm unable to upload things to my eBay account. And I'm thinking I perhaps might have some sort of a firewall issue of some variety, or there's some other type of a problem, and I'm wondering if you can help me figure out what that might be.
So you want all this stuff to work all the time and when you want it to work?
Well, that would sure be nice. What a concept.
What do you think this is, a Mac?
I am running
Windows XP. Oh, no, you didn't.
Oh, yeah, I did.
I have Windows XP.
Windows XP, okay. That was the first question I was going to ask, because it sounded like maybe UAC was in vogue here. But
So just first, before we jump into all this stuff, while we're not the biggest fans of the McAfee particular software that's out there today, it's by and large not generally to blame for all the problems of the world. And so my guess is that there were already sort of pre-existing issues that when this thing went to upgrade, all these issues sort of came to a head, and that's what we're dealing with today.
That could very well be.
Now, having said that, the issue I dealt with this morning was somebody that had Norton antivirus that could not get to Facebook. And so the way we determined that it was Norton that was causing the problem was we disabled it temporarily, and then lo and behold, I could get to Facebook.
Hmm.
So there are ways of you quickly testing. There's ways to disable temporarily the security software. And is this one of those slices, dices every security tool under the sun, or
no,
is it just antivirus?
It's just the basic bare bones.
Okay, is it antivirus and anti-malware or spyware or something of that nature?
I believe so.
So what you want to do is, you know how the little icons are down there by the clock?
Yes, sir.
It's called the sys tray. Learned you another word. If you float your mouse over the top of the little icons, it should tell you what those icons represent. And so when you see the McAfee icons, you would right-click on one of them.
I don't have one of those.
You don't have one of what?
It may be hidden, so you may have to click on something that allows you to view the hidden items.
I am viewing all my hidden items. I have part of the Internet upgrade included a service from the phone company called Windows One.
Windows Live One Care.
Live One Care.
Oi. So
I cannot.
I think what you have is you have two different dictators trying to run the country.
Right. So where one antivirus, anti-malware program is good, two is not better.
I understand that, and I'm trying to get rid of one of these, and I was trying to utilize my add and remove programs.
Yeah,
but you can't.
Which is not working.
Yeah. Right.
You're in the twilight zone, unfortunately.
Oh, swell.
It's like you're half pregnant here.
Wonderful.
Isn't that a fun piece of news from your doctors?
Yes.
So at the end of the day, you're going to need to try to see if you can disable both or all of these different security things that are in there so you can get into the add remove program so you can start making selections here.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to choose between the two that you've mentioned, the McAfee and the Microsoft Live One Care, by the way, I'd pick the Microsoft one, believe it or not.
Really?
No. Live One Care is no longer around. They discontinued it. Now it's called Microsoft Security Essentials.
That's right.
They just released that last week.
It'll change its name again next week. Don't worry.
So what you may want to try doing is, are you comfortable rebooting the machine into what's called safe mode?
Yeah, I am, but you'll have to educate me on how to do that again.
Okay, tell you what, we're running long on a break here, so I'm going to put you back on hold.
One-on-one?
We're going to grab you one-on-one off the air on how to get to safe mode and guide you through the process here.
You're so good.
And while we're doing that, quick timeout. When we come back, more of your calls and questions on the Computer Corner. Stick around.
Hey, it's October in the wonderful, wonderful Phoenix, Arizona that we live in.
Say wonderful again.
It is wonderful, wonderful.
Boy, I love the weather.
Hey, the top's down on the convertible and it's going to stay down for about 5 months.
We paid our dues and now...
Yes, we did.
Now we get to enjoy.
Do you know what the best part of October is?
Halloween?
Oktoberfest. In every city in the greater Phoenix area. Every one of them is going to have their own Oktoberfest. Think about that. Mm-mm-mm. Hey, by the way, you like what you hear? You want to keep up to speed on some of the other things that we don't necessarily cover here on the radio show?
Boy, do I.
Then you should sign up for the free newsletter that we send out every, Friday. Want to keep up to speed on some of the other things that we don't necessarily cover here on the radio show?
Boy, do I.
Then you should sign up for the free newsletter that we send out every, Friday, late afternoon, into the evening, sometimes midday.
Yeah. I'm a subscriber.
You are.
Imagine that.
Really?
Yeah. I'm also a Facebook fan, too, by the way.
Wow. You know what? It's becoming more and more obvious. Yes, we can warn you and help you on Saturdays. Yes, we can send you out a newsletter on Friday. But if something happens on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, before we send out the newsletter...
If something really big happens, by the way, we do send a special edition of the newsletter, but...
We try to keep that... Keep that. So our Amber Alert system, if you will, right?
It's a little busted, huh?
Well, no. That's where Twitter and Facebook come in.
Right.
As we see things that we believe you should be up to speed on before the radio show, before the newsletter comes out, that's when you want to become either a Facebook fan or follow us on Twitter. Your choice, or, you know, if you're really cool, you do both. Facebook.com/datadoctors
right.
is the quick URL for Facebook fans.
That already sounds confusing to me.
Facebook.com/datadoctors?
Yeah.
Or just search for Data Doctors.
Right. You can do that.
You can search for the Data Doc on Twitter, because that's me specifically.
Right.
And so you're going to get with Twitter, you're going to get the warnings, but you're also going to get...
stuff Ken's into?
Yeah, I just went and got a cup of coffee. No, I don't do that.
I woke up.
I picked up my dry cleaning. Both of them. or something.
I mean, unless something fantastic happened at the dry cleaners and you want to rave about the service, you're probably not going to hear about Ken's dry cleaning experience.
No, not for me. So
right.
Keep those things in mind. We also have our weekly polls. And you know, last week or this week's poll, I was asking the people that are subscribers, you know, what's your understanding of the net neutrality debate? We talked about this years ago when it first popped up, and it's kind of popping back up again. So we're going to have to cover net neutrality, because 89% of the people saying, I have no idea what it is. I don't know what it means. What is it? So we're going to continue to use these polls to really measure where our audience is. And so please participate if you would. Connect with us online any way, shape, or form that you so desire.
We'll make it easier for you to connect, too, as time goes.
For sure. Hey, before we go back, we got some good ones there?
Oh, yeah.
Are they good ones?
Only good ones. Okay. I mean, our callers are all fantastic. Well, except for like two.
What a brown nose.
Well, we got lines open. I thought I'd, you know, throw that out there. 602-277-5827.
Okay, Robert, your job from this point on is to point out the callers that suck.
Oh, geez.
that's a tall order.
It's like, no, they're all great. I'm with Brandon.
you don't believe me?
Let's go.
Check it out.
Let's
Sandy, prove me right here.
Are you an awesome caller?
Yes.
See. All right. Okay. Self-inflicted. What can we do for you today?
That's all it takes is somebody says yes to that question.
It's like, I'm done.
All I wanted to tell you was that I got that same alert about 2 weeks ago on a Saturday night, along with some awful, awful erotic porno-type flashings all over my computer. And it continued. We turned off the computer, and obviously the next day it was still there. It would not let us do anything on the computer. But the interesting thing was that happened on a Saturday night, and I didn't do anything to the computer until I had set up to have an IT guy check it out. But on Wednesday morning, everything was gone. There was no more alerts. There was no more anything. I never subscribed. I didn't pay anything. I just kind of ignored it, and I would say from Saturday night to Wednesday, everything stopped.
Sandy, do you tend to imbibe quite heavily on Saturday nights?
No, but it was one of those deals where I went on the computer and saw all these erotic things all over, and I pushed woke my husband up to say, hey, what have you been doing? And of course, it wasn't him.
I have no idea how to explain to you how that happened, but I will tell you, anybody listening that thinks that that's the way to handle these,
just ignore it.
Please do not listen to Sandy.
I take back what I said about our callers.
Stop that.
It was not the fact that I ignored it, but I did have it set up to have an IT guy check it out.
So
and he did check it out, and he did find several, you know, viruses and scan my computer, and it's fine. But all I wanted to know is let you know that although they keep putting that alert up there and they don't let you do anything, and they keep asking for the $49.95 to fix it all.
Yep.
On Wednesday morning, it was totally, there was not anything left on the computer to be looked at, and I thought,
oh, sorry, Sandy, we got to run to a quick break. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Computer Corner. If you're one of the 69% of the folks that Webroot surveyed, or if you're in that camp where you don't have any clue about these rogue security programs, by all means, please educate yourself at our website, datadoctors.com/radio, and you will be presented with a plethora of links to educate yourself on this whole issue. It is the biggest plague out there at the moment. And the most likely way that you are going to become infected with something either that's a nuisance or can be very expensive. We've already had several people call and say, yeah, I mean, I clicked on something, and after that, my machine just went sideways. And the problem is, we've been doing this a long time. We know how you guys think out there. You don't bring your computer in to have it looked at when you have a problem. You wait till you have 18 problems and the machine is virtually unusable.
Right. At the moment that there's really no use, no more use, and you can't do anything anymore, that's when you say, well, I guess I have to get it fixed now.
And because of that, all these other issues are building up. It's kind of like a medical issue. If you ignore all the symptoms of a major problem and then you contract something new, it just kind of takes you over the top and everything becomes obvious that you have these other problems. And it's a lot worse because you've been ignoring all these symptoms. So don't do that. This is one of those things that you gotta stay on top of this. They're figuring out how to fool you guys in droves, and you've got to educate yourself, and that's why we wanted to do this show. By the way, before we go back to the phones during the break, I was talking to Linda, who called in, and she said, my power thing is clicking.
My power thing is clicking.
Yeah, my power thing. I don't care about what she said, power or anything. I heard clicking. What does that tell a data doctor when you hear clicking?
Hard drive.
Turn it off now, yeah. If you care about anything on it.
And so she further articulated how it all happened. She was doing something last night. She was trying to tell the computer to do something, and it wouldn't. So she tried to do it one at a time, and they would kind of work, and it was clicking. And folks, that is a very bad sound. If you hear any kind of clicking, especially a repetitive clicking, most times that means the physical hard drive is failing or has failed. In either case, shutting the machine down as quickly as you can is the most important thing you want to do, because the more it runs, the more times it clicks, the more damage it can do and the more expensive it can become if that data is critical and you don't have it backed up.
That's the key.
That's one of the many things we've done this in the past, the signs of an impending meltdown. Unfortunately, hard drives, there are only two kinds of hard drives. I said this on the CNN segment last week. Those that have failed and those that are going to fail. Unfortunately, the ones that are going to fail don't necessarily go, I'm going to fail in 30 days. I'm going to fail in 29 days.
You know, you've been putting off that backup thing. Come on, man. You only got 18 days left.
I'm starting to get a tummy ache. It just goes, you know what? I give up. Goodbye.
And then everyone says it worked great yesterday.
That's right. I was working fine.
That's how it does it.
Until it stopped working, it was working great.
That's right. That's how computers typically fall apart, is they work until they stop working. So, if nothing else, learn from that, from Linda's deal, and use that as another reason to go out and get that critical data backed up today. Or tomorrow.
No, not tomorrow.
Next day.
See, that's how that starts.
Yeah, well, I don't want to completely eliminate
all of our
data recovery opportunities.
Today.
Hey, we might be getting a big batch of drives that we've got to help some folks out in from the tsunami out there.
Oh, really?
Got that call last night towards the end of the day. We'll keep you posted on that.
Way out in the specific?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So maybe we can at least lend a hand with that whole situation out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Back to the phones.
Absolutely. Up next, it's Chuck on the Computer Corner. Chuck, welcome.
What's up, Chuck?
I've got a Linksys wireless system.
Yes, sir.
I had it encrypted, and now it's not encrypted. And Linksys wants $40 to help me re-encrypt it.
So probably the thing got reset. On the back, there's a little button you use to get a paperclip or something to push it. A lot of people think that's like a reboot button, which is like turn off the power and put it back on, but it's actually a reset it back to the factory defaults with no security button.
And there are other ways for that to happen as well. So you have a choice here. Do you have the owner's manual for this?
Somewhere.
Okay, so if you have the initiative and the time, because you don't even have to have the owner's manual these days, you can actually go online and find an actual PDF version of the owner's manual, just with the model number. It will walk you through the step-by-step directions on encrypting the router.
Okay.
Right, and so it's a process where you get into the router and you give it a password, and then you go onto each device that connects and give it the same password and everything.
So you're going to create like a little club here, and you're going to create a high sign. So as long as everybody in the club knows the high sign, you'll be okay.
Correct.
So you have an option here. It's your time or your money.
Okay.
If you want to spend your time, you need to do the homework. You need to find the owner's manual and just go through it, because it'll walk you through. It's not that tough.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're saying, I don't want to deal with it, then because it's not like we're going to give you like a 30-second instructions on the phone here or over on the air and you're going to be able to encrypt it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Every model is different. Every revision that they have for what's called the firmware is different. And then you have to decide what level of encryption. So you got to learn all of that stuff so that you can understand how to do this. It's worth your while to do this, because it's not like this is the last time you'll need to do this.
Okay.
And some of these wireless routers will have a special button that's supposedly make this easier and quicker. There's a downside to it, which is while it may be quicker and easier, it's also harder to deal with every time you want to add a new computer. You have to remember this crazy code. Versus something that you create yourself that you can easily remember. So
you can create what's called a passphrase that'll be turned into this crazy encrypted passcode.
Mm-hmm.
But then you'll remember it, and then you'll use that, because you'll have to have that to be able to add your computer. So you're going to create this special code, and then you got to use that special code on any of the computers that are going to try to connect. Whatever it was before, your computers are still going to try to connect using that old passcode, because that's what they've been programmed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so unless you know what that was, you're going to have to start all over again and wipe it out, you know, put a new one in your router and create new passcodes in all the machines that you want to be able to connect securely.
Okay, so go to Linksys and go to router configuration or whatever.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're right back to where we were with a lot of callers, which is it's time or money. So you're going to spend your time or you're going to pay them or someone else.
Go to Google, put the model number of your router in, and then follow it with owner's manual.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and then go find the PDF, download it. Don't print it. Let's hug a few trees here.
Okay.
Look at it on the screen so that you know. I'm assuming your direct connection, your wired connection still works, right?
Right. Okay. Everything still works.
Yeah, it's just not encrypted.
Right.
Okay. The lazy man's encryption is to hide the broadcast of the SSID, which probably means nothing to you, right?
Right.
If you're going to get in that far to do that, you might as well just encrypt it while you're there.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
All right, good luck.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. You know, on one hand, I appreciate that he thinks that we're that good.
Well,
he's going to call and instead of walking through this with Linksys, that we were going to somehow magically transform this knowledge.
Oh, we're going to take the radio show and use it as a replacement for their tech support and save $40.
Well,
I get it.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Yeah, the problem is we're limited to very short segments, and this is not a very short segment to do that. I mean, to walk somebody through how to encrypt their router.
Right.
It's probably good.
Well,
that's half hour.
That's only half the equation, right? Well, encrypting the router and then...
And then I
forgot about my daughters upstairs. And
so it's a half hour to an hour on the phone. And
yeah.
Frankly, $40.
That's a good
deal. That's a bargain.
That's not bad.
That is a bargain. So time is money. What time is it?
We have lots of time.
Well, let's go.
Let's talk to Josh, who's up next here on the Computer Corner. Josh.
Josh, how can we help you?
Hi. I just had a question. I bought a new netbook, and when I plug a... and audio, like a speaker into it, through the headphone port. Even with the Windows regular volume settings all the way up, it's a lot lower output than my other computer, my other laptop. So is there any way to adjust that output to override that just general Windows
There's a couple things you're going to try. First of all, are these powered speakers?
They're kind of... Yeah, they're through.
Do you plug it into the wall as well, the speakers themselves?
Yeah, it's through like a mixer system. So yeah.
Okay, so there's a couple of things. Some laptop netbooks, notebooks, these kinds of things. Some of them still have a physical volume control that'll be like a little dial right there near where the headphone jack is. So that's the most obvious. Look for that. If it's there, make sure you turn it up and max it out. That kind of thing.
That has
nothing to do with the. What's built into Windows sound volume?
So are you clicking on the little picture of the speaker once and then it has that little slide bar?
I'm doing that, and then I'm also adjusting. There's a button that's like hit FN, function FN, and then you get one of the little speaker buttons.
Right. So there's one other place you might try to see if the input volume or the device volume is set lower, and that's, you know, the little speaker icon?
Yeah.
Instead of single-clicking, try double-clicking it. And this will bring up all the different input items.
It brings up a virtual mixer, right?
Right.
A really basic one.
Okay.
And so make sure that the volume levels on the inputs like Wave and some of these others, depending upon what you're trying to play back, the CD player.
I've done that.
Okay, and they're all maxed out?
Yeah.
Then I hate to tell you, my friend, it is what it is.
I mean, there's a downside to netbooks, and that is that they use, I mean, they don't have a lot of power in the amplifiers and things. They're trying to sip power and be low cost, and that's... part of the trade-off.
But I mean, that's why I was asking about the amplified speakers. If they're powered speakers, you just turn the volume up on the speakers a little more and you should be fine, right?
Right. I was just wondering without having to, you know, to blast those, because, you know, at a comparable level to using my other just, you know, regular laptop, it's significantly lower.
Yeah, no, it's that is what it is. It's if you've gone through all those adjustments, unless there's a special third-party speaker controlling system, which I have seen. I mean, you'll see like a different kind of a speaker icon down there by the clock.
Or in the control panel sometimes. Yeah. You can dig around for that kind of thing.
So you can go into all those settings and play. And there are ways to boost the level. You can tell it in the control panel and the sound properties.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell it to give it a boost.
Okay.
Are you in front of your computer or no?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Because in the...
The other thing is go... throw Google in and type in Google the model number of the netbook you have in low volume and see if anybody else had the problem and says, here's the solution, or there is no solution to it. Because there's a lot of people out there that probably are frustrated like you and have either solved the problem or figured out that it can't be and written about it.
Okay.
I'll
look into those options. Thank you very much.
All right. Good luck for that. Good luck for that?
Yeah, good luck for that.
Wow.
Perfect English.
I am speaking more gooder as we speak.
Tell you what, we'll take a time out so you can recuperate.
Gather myself.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it'll be the final segment. And
Recaffeinate.
And then gelato.
Datadoctors.com/radio if you want to get up to speed on all of our fake alert info. Stay tuned for more.
Welcome back. It's the final segment here on the Computer Corner. If you missed any part of the show and you want to get up to speed on the huge problem, the growing problem of fake alerts, these rogue pieces of software that look and feel and act like anti-spyware, anti-viruses, and that kind of stuff, we've got resources at datadoctors.com/radio. You'll want to check those things out and make sure you stay tuned to newsletter and our Facebook fan page, all that kind of stuff, because this stuff is changing every day.
Yeah, you folks out there that think that you're so smart that you're immune from this stuff, go take a look at Webroot's survey. Pretty sobering information there about the people that are actually getting infected by these things.
You're more likely to be a victim because you think, because you do more and because you sort of think, I know what I'm doing, you're cool and, you know.
Where none of us are immune. Hey, this week's newsletter, I brought out an oldie but goodie as the tip of the week. Real simple one.
That was an old one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's an oldie but goodie. You know what? I think we have enough people that maybe haven't. I mean, we'd have to go back 6-7 years since we've given this tip out. Many of you don't realize, and this works both in Firefox and Internet Explorer, if you're looking at a web page and you know how you got to scroll up and down sometimes to be able to see everything you want to see or whatever, or if you haven't been paying attention and you have like 8 toolbars.
Right. You've got the Google search toolbar and the Yahoo toolbar and the smiley face toolbar. And
so half of your page is taken up with these toolbars. You can't actually see the internet page you're trying to go to.
You got more toolbars than visibility.
Exactly. And especially so on netbooks because the screens are tiny to begin with. So this week's tip is, next time you want to actually see the website full page without all the accoutrement, hit the F11 key once.
Check this out. A one-touch tip. Not a click here, do this, change this setting,
no.
14 clicks later. No. One touch. Boop.
F11, and it'll go full screen. It takes all the bars and what have you out, with the exception of a little piece at the top. This works both in Internet Explorer and Firefox.
But wait. How do I change web pages now? I can't, my even the address bar is gone.
That is what you have referred to in the past as a toggle switch.
Ah, so you hit it again.
And?
Viola.
Yes.
Comes right back.
Back to 8 toolbars.
Headwhack of the week is, I think more and more people are getting this frustration. You go to Google, you put in your search condition, you get the stuff from like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, especially current events.
Yeah.
Most people don't realize if you click on the advanced button, there are parameters you can tell Google, only bring me back the good stuff.
Not just parameters.
Huh?
They're advanced parameters.
Advanced.
That's why
yes.
It says advanced.
So the step-by-step on how to do that is in this week's newsletter, along with this week's Geek Speak of the Week, that Facebook malware video scam that's on the loose, the specific link to the screenshot so that you know what's going on, warn you about a new banking Trojan that actually steals money from under, you know, so they don't just steal your identity, they actually go in and start pilfering your accounts.
Taking the dough out of your accounts?
Creating fake accounts, making you think that you got money when you don't. So you're looking at something online and it's not actually your account.
Wow.
They're getting really...
Wow.
They need to pop up a little yellow card that says a bank error in your favor. Collect $200.
And do not pass go. You familiar with these credit card skimming scams? The skimming scam.
The skimming scam. Which one?
There are crime rings out there now that are going to folks that work in fast food restaurants and giving them this little device.
So I'm an employee at the fast food joint, and you're the bad guy with a black hood, and you approach me and say, "Here's this little device.
Right.
You hook me up, and
every time you take a swipe it through the credit card system of your fast food restaurant,
right.
And then just give it a quick swipe on this other box." And if you do that, I'll pay you $10 for every time you do that.
$10? $10 a swipe?
Yeah.
That's more money than I'm making working at the fast food joint.
Uh-huh.
I am in.
You only have to do this that twice an hour.
This is happening, apparently happening a lot in Florida. Thank goodness it's not happening here.
Why in Florida, I wonder?
But the link that we have in the newsletter talks about what is your mag stripe worth at each of these fast food restaurants, because they went around and actually...
They rated who are the worst, which ones have the worst employees?
Based on the people that got arrested doing this, right?
Wow.
So that's another, you know, another issue to think about.
Wow.
If you're using a debit card at a fast food restaurant in Florida, you might think twice.
Well, if you're using one where you have to put in your PIN number, maybe you're better off. No, maybe not. No, I guess not.
I thought you're safer with the PIN number.
No, but there's the swipe and the mag stripe, it can work the other way too, right?
Anytime
I got to use cash again?
That's right. We're coming
I'm
back
to write
cash.
A check. I'm writing a check.
Yeah.
From now on, Robert, I'm writing checks.
I'm down with
Let's
you.
Write checks.
Let's do it.
good luck with that one. No, but I mean, it's debit card. Anytime you use a debit card for an electronic transaction, the debit card doesn't have necessarily the same protection with every bank that a credit card does. And a debit card goes directly to your checking account. So if somebody messes with your account, it immediately impacts your cash balance, right? Whereas with a credit card, it ties up your credit line, but it doesn't take your actual cash. So be very careful where you use your debit cards.
Yeah, I'm not writing checks either now. I'm shiny beads.
Yeah.
That's it. Shiny beads.
To get you a mayonnaise jar in the backyard there, Mr. Brandon.
We are all out of time. Mr. Mike, we will get to your call off the air. For any of you who missed any parts of the show, again, datadoctors.com/radio. Of course, we'll have the audio archives posted up here shortly, I promise.
Or you can search iTunes podcast section for Data Doctors and see lots and lots of shows.
Until next week, Robert Rezio wants to remind you, if you don't need it,
don't click it.
Get your recyclables ready.